You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am back, although my tone is a little bit more dulcet than usually. I have been without voice now for, I think, 5 days, and it really didn't even have anything to do with my Vikings miracle win over my wife's Saints. Although, now that I think about it, I could kind of see Jen poisoning me.
I was going to say, she might be poisoning you, and I also, welcome back to the show. I'm glad to know that you remembered that you have a job, and, you know, it's good to have you back. I know some girls who, like, they swear that their voice sounds sexier right after they've been sick. That does not apply to you. This is an audio format, and honestly, like, maybe you should go back to the day spa.
Yeah, right after this, I might just stick my face in the steamer. I can't lie.
We got to get through the next 20-ish minutes.
All right. So much like the Lakers without their backup, the show has kind of struggled in my absence. I'm kidding.
I will kill you if you compare me to Tyler. I will drive to your house. I'm kidding. Definitely kidding. Definitely kidding.
I got to be careful with the laughing because it will turn into a coughing fit.
Yeah. Okay. So the Lakers, I will take over for you as you catch your breath because, you know, it's been a long time since you talked out loud. But The Lakers lose to the Thunder 114-90 tonight. And Anthony, you know, when I got on and I asked you, what do you want to talk about tonight? You said that it's time to talk about Tyler Ennis because, you know, you didn't listen to yesterday's episode, clearly, where Grant and I pretty much slandered Tyler Ennis for about 40 minutes. Not really. We were only being half serious. I think it's time for a serious discussion about Tyler Ennis and why the Lakers front office thought that having him as their primary and really only backup point guard full time, at least because Caruso's on a two-way deal. They have Gary Payton II now, but he's also on a two-way deal. Like, really, their only full-time backup is Tyler Ennis. And, you know, like, I guess that didn't work out the way that maybe they were hoping.
Is GP2 on a two-way deal or a 10-day contract?
He is on a two-way deal.
Oh, already. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they just signed him to one right off the bat. So the mitten era has begun. The mitten era is looking a lot like, you know, he was all right tonight. Still leading the Lakers in net rating with a plus 33.9. So,
all right, so we are going to get to all of that. And I just want to make sure you guys know where to follow the show. That's at Megaphone/Panoply. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Harrison is at Lakers Nation. I am at Lakers Outsiders. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am at Anthony Irwin LA. You don't have to listen to my terrible voice on Twitter, but you do have to follow my terrible tweets. So it's a trade off. You got to make that call for yourself.
I don't think anybody's actually going to do that.
Good point. So, what we were talking about before we went live was that, so right now, there really isn't much that we can concretely criticize the front office for. Or, I mean, we can say that they did a great job drafting Kyle Kuzma, but the draft team is a lot of holdovers from the previous front office. Now,
it's all the same scouting department.
Yeah, so, and you still have, you know, Pelinka and Magic do have to hit the button and actually make that call and actually draft Kyle Kuzma. But really, to this point, we don't have much to analyze either way, right? We have to wait until this upcoming offseason where we find out whether this entire attempt at landing a superstar will actually prove fruitful or not. And until that point, we don't really have, like I said, much to go off of except for, and this is their one criticism that I think can actually be bevied against this front office, is how the hell do you go into a NBA regular season where your starting point guard is a rookie, and yes, he is a second overall pick, but he's still going to be a rookie. And even if he doesn't have injuries, even if he's 100% healthy throughout the year, he's still going to hit that rookie wall at some point, right? So at some point, you would like to have a decent backup just in case that rookie wall happens, let alone if injuries happen, as they have with Lonzo. And look, I think this Lakers season didn't have much of a chance at becoming at getting to the playoffs or getting anywhere near 40 wins or 35 wins for that matter. But any chance that they had whatsoever went out the door as soon as Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka said to themselves, all right, we saw Tyler Ennis at the end of the year. That's the guy that we think is going to be the second string point guard. And what we've seen is that the Lakers are a freaking disaster when Lonzo isn't on the court. Not necessarily just because Lonzo is really good at basketball and is really good, especially by rookie standards, but because his replacement is Tyler freaking Ennis. And
yeah, I was joking with Coach Dad on Twitter tonight that just not being Tyler Ennis is worth like 5 points.
It really is. And look, people have asked me a couple times, like, why are you so hard on Ennis? Why are you so hard on it? And all I have to say is, look, you can be bad at basketball, right? Like, Mark Madsen was objectively bad at basketball.
But hey, for the NBA, it's important to clarify. Okay, Mark Madsen,
by NBA standards, okay. All of these guys, anytime I analyze basketball players, it's by NBA standards, right? So,
okay.
If Tyler Ennis was to walk into your local YMCA gym, he would be at least top two in that gym.
At least top two. Oh my God. That was the meanest thing you've ever said about Tyler Ennis. Like, you were allowing that there was a chance there was a better pickup player there than Tyler Ennis.
So we're right up against the break. So I want to say this before we get to break, and then I'll let you build off of the point that I'm about to make here afterward. But Tyler Ennis is both bad at basketball and he's insanely passive. He doesn't try. He doesn't try as hard as you need to if you are not as talented as Tyler Ennis is not. We're going to take a quick break here. And then Harrison, I'll let you either retort or build upon that point.
Okay, so I have a couple theories on this. And I think another reason why Ennis has struggled or why the Lakers have struggled with Ennis is he's such a different player than Ball. You and I have talked about it as far as, like, we would both, I think, rather have Caruso in there as the backup. And it's just because he play. And I talked about this with Coach Dad over the weekend. And, you know, he just plays a little bit more similarly to Ball. He's not going to fool anyone into thinking that he's Lonzo Ball, but the Lakers at least don't have to overhaul their entire offense or just like plug a square peg into a round hole, which is kind of what they're doing with Ennis. If you're going to play Ennis, then you just have to run different stuff. You can't try and play the same way, and they aren't really adjusting their playbook enough to like compensate for how different Ennis is than Lonzo, at least in my eyes. And I think – so I have two theories on maybe why they would have went with Ennis going into the year. And neither of them are particularly good reasons in my eyes, but they're reasons that I can see, you know, maybe they went with it. And so I think the first one is to force Luke to play Lonzo, even through his struggles. Because what have we seen the last couple of years when the Lakers have had a young point guard and they've had a coach and they've given him a veteran option behind him? That coach, whether it's the Lakers coach before Luke Walton or it's Luke Walton, has went with Lou Williams or has went with a more veteran option when given the choice and not forced to play the younger guy. And now you could say, well, of course, Luke just didn't like D'Angelo, or, you know, the last coach just didn't like D'Angelo. And so, of course, Luke would have played Lonzo and he would have played him all the minutes that his heart desires. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's an NBA head coach. And if he has a vet that, you know, does just makes less mistakes than Lonzo does, then maybe he's going to go to that guy to close games. And, you know, maybe in some ways that would have been beneficial for Lonzo, but it's very clear that this front office did not want that. And so I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility that they went with Ennis in order to just kind of force that change and force Luke to play Lonzo and close out with Lonzo just by giving him like a wet bag of trash as the other option. And I think my other theory is that they wanted to juice Lonzo's on-off numbers and help his All-Star candidacy.
Well, mission accomplished, right?
Yeah, second one, roaring success. Over the Lakers' last 15 games, Lonzo has the best net rating of any guy to play significant minutes, and with negative 1.2. And over that stretch, Lakers are getting outscored by 3.5. So that's still, like, pretty good. And with Lonzo off the floor, they have their worst net rating at negative 6.8. So their largest swing is whether Lonzo is playing or not, and I think that has a bit to do with Lonzo. I think that has a bit to do with they've just won more games with him in, because that's coincided with easier portions of their schedule. So, like, those are both factors. But I also think another factor, and we'd be lying if we didn't admit this factor, is that Ennis is his backup. And I made the joke that the Lakers are 5 points better just by not playing Ennis, but that's almost literally true. Actually, that's not being accurate. It's actually more for Ball.
Oh my gosh. So, again, so, like, one of the things that would kind of annoy me was when Robert Sockway would get trashed, or Ryan Kelly would get trashed, and it was because, like, those guys would play and they'd be out there for like 3 or 4 minutes, and then those 3 or 4 minutes were a disaster. Sockway because he wasn't good, Kelly because he was often played out of position and he wasn't good. Right.
The Ryan Kelly at small forward era. I had burned that from my brain. So thank you for bringing that back up.
Yeah. We're going to a dark place. But this isn't that, right? Tyler Ennis is not Robert Sacre or is not Ryan Kelly. He is not the 15th man on this roster. He is the backup point guard of the Los Angeles Lakers. He's maybe the worst backup point guard in the history of the Los Angeles Lakers. And we knew this heading into the offseason. We watched him play. We saw him play. And yes, he had that stretch at the very end of the season where he said, well, you know, maybe he isn't that bad, because expectations for him were so low that so long as he walked and didn't suffocate, you thought to yourself, hey, step forward. But that's not where we are right now. Right now, we're watching this guy play, and it's like you said, he doesn't play fast enough. He routinely takes an extra dribble, whereas Lonzo Ball, it's tough to compare because Lonzo gets the ball in and out of his hand on in outlet situations faster than any point guard, arguably, across the NBA. But you watch Tyler Ennis, and he routinely takes one or two extra dribbles, by which time the defense can set up, and guys like Brandon Ingram, or guys like KCP, or guys like Clarkson, anybody, Randall, anybody on the team who has any success or needs transition success to build off of in any of their games, those guys don't get that success because Tyler Ennis is pounding the ball into the ground in transition. And you just can't do that because, as we've said throughout the season, right, this is a dead horse that we've beaten at this point, is that the Lakers are terrible in half court. And what Tyler Ennis forces you to do is play even more in the half court, a setting that the Lakers are a freaking disaster. Tire fire, trash fire, garbage fire.
To be fair, I thought Ennis did a pretty good job pushing the pace in the first quarter tonight. But other than that, I agree with you. I think he's been very bad at it, and I think it's been actively harmful to the Lakers. And it goes back to that thing that I was saying at the beginning, where he just plays so differently than Lonzo that you almost have to overhaul your whole playbook. And the Lakers' playbook in the half court is not good anyway.
Right. We are going to take a quick break here, and on the other end, because one thing I really hate that I have fallen victim to as well is to criticize without bringing up other possibilities, right? Just to hammer home that Tyler Ennis is bad and that Magic and Pelinka were crazy to think that Tyler Ennis was anything other than bad. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of it, we're going to talk about some of the options that the Lakers had this offseason based off deals that they signed, based off of deals that were available at the time that they could have gone in that direction that might have put the Lakers in a better situation than they currently are right now. All right, so as we talked about before we went to break, the Lakers were attached to a couple names that at the time kind of freaked us out a little bit because of the possible names. One of those being Derrick Rose, one of those being Rajon Rondo. I believe at one point, what's the lefty's name? Oh man, the guy who hates D'Angelo Russell. Anyway, he's not in the league anyway.
Nick Young?
Yeah, when he plays left-handed. Now, there's another point guard. He'll come to mind as we have this conversation. Brandon Jennings, Rajon Rondo, and Derrick Rose, right? Those are the three names that the Lakers were attached to. Derrick Rose and Brandon Jennings would have been a disaster. Now, would they be worse than Tyler Ennis? I think Jennings might. I think Rose is a debate. The one thing that you have to worry about with Derrick
Rose has been hot garbage in Cleveland, but it's worth wondering if he would have looked any better on the Lakers, like where he actually like would have the ball in his hands, presumably sometimes.
Well, the other thing, the one concern that was there and is, I think, fair to make regarding Rose is that I still don't think he's very aware of how bad he is. So a lot of the problems that he was having in Cleveland was that he was still trying to be Derrick Rose. And, I mean, he's already terrible off the ball. He's not a good shooter. So pairing him with LeBron was just, like you said, it was a garbage fire. So you wonder if maybe having the ball in his hands where he's allowed to be a little bit more like Derrick Rose, on the plus side, it makes a little bit more sense. On the negative side, more Derrick Rose is, it doesn't seem like the equation or the recipe for anything but disaster. But the one that
roses don't always smell greener on the other side. Could we say that?
I guess. I think you have your cliches kind of mixed up there.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's late, man.
the other name though was Rajon Rondo, and that one I think is one where I think in hindsight I was adamantly against Rajon Rondo at the time because I was concerned that you might have some of what you were talking about, that dynamic of Luke playing the veteran over Lonzo. But if let's say he signs and he understands his role, there is no argument in the world that Tyler Ennis is not worse than Rajon Rondo, right?
Yeah, I think – yes, yeah. Sorry, the phrasing of your question confused me. But yes, Tyler Ennis is – definitely a worse player in a vacuum than Rajon Rondo. I don't even think that that's anywhere close to a debate. I don't know that Tyler Ennis would even debate that.
Now, where we're going to fall down kind of a rabbit hole is by finding some names out there, some deals that were signed that maybe or may not have been available to the Lakers at the time. But they are names that, again, make more sense because they are not Tyler Ennis. Like honestly, if you were to put a jersey on a creative player from NBA 2K and his name was not Tyler Ennis, I'd roll with that guy.
Yeah, so, like, shameless plug, but yesterday I had Grant Goldberg on. And again, I know you didn't listen, but we tried to come up with better options than Tyler Ennis at backup point guard, and we settled on Airbud. And what was Grant's suggestion? I'm already blanking on this, but yeah, that was a fun show. And he settled on you and your unstoppable Euro stumble, because at least you could have gotten to the basket. So
something like that. I mean, if nobody was in front of me, maybe I could get to the basket.
Yeah. Hey, you, it's like we said, you have an 100% success rate at getting by guys and getting to the basket, 0% success rate finishing once there.
All right. So I don't believe the Lakers could have signed Jose Calderon, right? Because they had traded him away?
Yeah, I think you got to wait a year is the rule.
Okay, so he is not an option.
Although I don't know if that gets voided because he like got waived by like Golden State and then picked up by the Cavs. I don't know if that like changes that rule or if that changes. I don't know. But either way, like, I mean, come on, man. Like, ultimately, what are we doing here if we're saying, like, yeah, like, we're going to criticize them for not signing Jose Calderon instead of Tyler Ennis? Like, the Lakers would have been garbage either way.
I think they'd be better off with Calderon than Ennis, because at least Calderon provides spacing.
You know, like, all three games he plays per year.
Yeah. Actually, ask any Cavs fan, there was like a magical stretch where he was an actually good point guard playing alongside LeBron, which
I was going to say he's playing alongside LeBron.
That actually helps. They do not have a LeBron James. They have a Kyle Kuzma, but they do not have a LeBron James.
I mean, like, my thing is ultimately we don't know who they could have signed because we don't know. It's two-way street, and those players have to also agree to be signed. And so I think it's like a little bit – this isn't to call you an idiot, but like – I think it's a little stupid to like just debate this here because we don't really know who they could have signed. And ultimately, like, we're picking nits. Like, none of these guys were going to be that much better than Tyler Ennis. I think the overarching point that, like, I guess we can make here is that irregardless of the Lakers front office erring by having Tyler Ennis as their only backup point guard option, it really is showing that, yes, Lonzo Ball struggled to start his career, but lately he has been a helpful player for the Lakers. And all this talk of, like, he's disappointing just continues to be insane to me. Yes, he has not burst onto the scene like Simmons or Donovan Mitchell or even Kyle Kuzma in that same emphatic, it's popping off the screen at you way. But Lonzo Ball has arguably been the Lakers' best player this year. Maybe Julius Randle, I guess. But Julius Randle doesn't help the Lakers as much, if that makes sense. Like, if Julius Randle sits out, he's a better player than Lonzo right now, but the Lakers are less hurt when Julius Randle sits out than they are when Lonzo is. And that's part of it. That's partially the backup thing, but that's also just partially...
I'd argue it's mostly the backup thing.
Huh?
I'd argue it's mostly the backup thing.
I think that's part of it, but I also think that a big part of it is just that Lonzo is integral to the way the Lakers want to play in a way that Julius Randle is not.
I would disagree.
Is that fair to say? And I have a piece coming out probably today by the time that you guys are listening to this about why it's 900 plus words on why the Lakers shouldn't trade Randle, and he's been their best player. But I just think Lonzo is more integral to the way that the Lakers want to play.
I think there's some truth to that, but I would also say that Randle being able to I think Lonzo is integral to the way that the Lakers play offensively. But a lot of the things that the Lakers try to do defensively could not be done without Julius Randle playing at his absolute peak.
No, I 100% agree. That's actually a point that I made. Right. Like, there's no one on the Lakers that can do the things on either end, the specific exact things that Randle does. And so this isn't to, like, crap on him. Like I said, he's been the Lakers' best player this year. But I just think Lonzo has been more valuable to them. And I know that this is, like, a stupid first take debate basically now, but... You know,
the one guy that I do want to talk about before we get out of here, because I didn't want to go down the entire list here, but the one name that I did want to mention that I thought made a lot of sense for the Lakers at the time, I believe there was some talk of the Lakers kind of being, I don't know if they ever had full on discussions with this guy or whatever, but Tyreke Evans signed for 1 year, $3 million.
I do remember a rumor that they... I remember them being rumored to be interested in him on some level.
And that to me is the kind of deal. It's perfect because it's a one-year deal. Evans has been really good in Memphis this year. He does a lot of the things that the Lakers need from both the backup point guard in case Lonzo steps out, but as a backup point guard handling the second unit. Now, no, he is not the shooter that you would like, but Ennis has made, what, 4 threes all year this year? So that kind of – I just – to me, Tyreke Evans is an NBA player. You needed an NBA player to be behind Lonzo Ball. Even if you're worried about whether or not Luke might play that NBA player more than Lonzo Ball in an attempt to steal an extra win or two – I don't think they necessarily had to worry about that as much, given how Luke has kind of designed and predicated their entire offense off of Lonzo Ball's skills. So I think, to me, letting Tyreke Evans go, like, to me, that's the one that really hurts, because I just can't watch Tyler Ennis play basketball anymore, man.
Yeah, I'm with it. Like, that would have helped the Lakers a lot. And maybe it would have cost Lonzo some minutes. But you could also argue at the beginning of his career that might have helped him. I don't know. It's hard for me to get too upset. I mean, I think that reasoning on some level makes sense. But at the same time, the Lakers also aren't looking to tank this year. They're looking to get wins. And so it just depends on how much you prioritize that stuff and how much you trust Luke to heed the front office edict to play Lonzo.
Yeah.
And if there is one, and I would imagine there is.
It just so happens that it sounds like I'm on my deathbed here, but please, Lakers, please do. Like, you have Gary Payton II on a two-way deal now. You have Josh Hart. Now, it depends on how the injuries play out here. Kyle Kuzma sprained a finger, it sounds like. KCP strained an Achilles, it sounds like. And Lonzo Ball is still getting back from a sore left knee, so you don't really know what the injuries are going to look like. But when everybody is healthy, there is zero reason that I have to watch – Tyler Ennis play basketball. There is
yeah, so just real quick on those fronts, the latest that we have as of when we're recording this is Mike Trudell is reporting that the Lakers don't think that KCP is going to miss any more time. And Kyle Kuzma, I guess, thinks that he's going to be okay to continue to play. And Luke also said that the Lakers, if they would have been closer, could have went back to Ingram in the second half. So as far as injuries go, it sounds like they're coming out like this isn't the worst case scenario. It's about the best case considering everything that went down.
Yeah. KCP's injury in particular, you don't want to mess with Achilles. So we'll see.
Yeah.
No. Lakers
should know that better than any team.
Yeah. We'll see how KCP feels in the morning. Speaking of that, my voice is about to go. I have to sign off here before so that I have a chance at recording in the morning.
Okay. Luke Walton's criticism towards the end of the game that the Lakers weren't tough, they beat us up, could also apply as much to the Thunder to the Lakers as it does to this sickness and your voice.
I feel like Steven Adams was there elbowing my throat for the last week or so.
And honestly, that probably would have been healthier for you from the sound of it.
Just about. Adams is insane, man. Lopez is a big dude, but Steven Adams was moving him as if he wasn't even there. He might have Aquaman powers. That was unbelievable. All right. Yeah. For this episode of the Locked On Lakers, I am Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. Harrison is at Lakers Nation. I write at Lakers Outsiders. The Lakers fall by double digits to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Harrison and I are going to find something fun to talk about tomorrow.
We're probably going to go to the iTunes mailbag, so go ahead and leave us some reviews, and we will try to get to those when we record. So leave them early when you listen to this, because we're probably going to record earlier in the day. But if not, we always get to those things, and we'll always get to them.
It'll be the rare dual mailbag show. We haven't done one of those in a long time.
Unless Anthony dies.
Unless, yeah. Oh, goodbye, Harrison. I'm a dead person.
Okay, bye.